Good morning. Next Sunday is the fifth Sunday in the month of October, and so Kevin Morrow is going to present the lessons for us then. We look forward to that and appreciate him being willing to come and do that for us. So please come and be a part of that service. The week before last, the East Cheatham Church had asked me to come and present a lesson to answer this question, and I thought that it was worth presenting here as well. And the question is, will we know one another in heaven? And I would guess that for some of us, the first time we might hear that question, we would just say, why would we even ask that? Doesn't it seem just natural that we would expect to know one another in heaven? And I understand why you might respond that way, but let me tell you, this is a really meaningful question to a lot of people. And I think the older you get, probably the more this question and its answer mean to you. There's a reason why this question exists and why we ask it, and why we don't always just naturally accept the answer to say, yes, we will know one another. There are reasons why people doubt that we will. One of those reasons has to do with the fact that there will be some people that we have known in this world, some even that we have loved, that won't be there in heaven for eternity. Now, we know that according to the Scriptures, there are no tears in heaven, no mourning, no sorrow. So how is it that there could be some that we have known and loved that won't be in heaven and we won't mourn over them? Is the answer perhaps that we will just forget about the past, or that we will lose our identities and assume some new identities in heaven? Well, that's the implication, and some have considered that maybe that is how it is that we could have no sorrow and no mourning in heaven, that we just won't have any memory. And if we don't have memory of people in this world, we won't recognize one another either. That's one place where this question comes from. So understand it's a valid question. The question also arises when we start thinking about the changes that will certainly happen at the resurrection. And we'll spend a good part of the lesson thinking about those changes here in just a moment. But I want to go ahead and tell you that my answer to this question is yes, we will know one another in heaven. And I want to give you my best reasons for why I believe that that is true. I want to present to you my understanding of what the Scriptures teach about these things. And I can't take you to one definitive passage that says, when we are in heaven, we will know one another. I haven't found that passage in the Scriptures. But there are many things that we learn from the Scriptures that might not have such a definitive passage to just come out and say something, but we can learn by study, by deducing from what we study and understanding the things that are implied so that we understand God's Word. I tell you, no one on earth can answer questions about heaven and things of this nature outside of the Scriptures. I could give you what my opinion is or what I want it to be, and that won't be worth very much if I can't give you some Scripture to back it up. And I'll also tell you that there are many things about heaven that the Scripture just doesn't teach us. There are a lot of things we want to know that God just has not told us. And maybe that's because we couldn't understand it if He did tell us. And we expect heaven's going to be a wonderful place, and that experience is going to exceed anything we've known in this world. And so I would also expect that the knowledge of heaven exceeds what this world can know. Sometimes we have to be satisfied with not knowing. Oh, that's hard, isn't it? I want to know. And I want to know right now. But I can't always know everything I want to know. Deuteronomy 29:29, God said, the things revealed belong to us, the secret things belong to Him. And sometimes I have to leave the secret things on his side and accept that that's how it is, at least for now. But I'll answer as best I can according to the scriptures. And I believe we have a good answer so that we can say, indeed, we will know one another in heaven. But before we get to that answer exactly, I want us to think about some of the changes that are going to happen in the resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is Paul's great treatise on the subject of the resurrection. And when you read this passage, we see that Paul was responding to some in Corinth that doubted that there would be a resurrection whatsoever. They just didn't think that there was any such thing. And we know that the Sadducees had believed the same thing. And Jesus, he reproved them. He proved their belief to be false. But as Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians 15, he showed that we're going to have new bodies that are suitable for heaven. He said there in verse 35, he anticipates this question, how are the dead raised and with what kind of body do they come? Now he goes on to say that it's foolish to ask that question. Now let me explain. When he says it's foolish, he doesn't mean it's foolish to wonder about the resurrection or about what we will be like. And we'll see that. He's going to explain that. What he meant was it was foolish for those who were denying the resurrection to try to disprove it by saying, well, what kind of body are we going to have? You know, this body, it goes to the dust and we decompose. And so if we're going to be raised up, we're going to have a body. So he's saying it's foolish to try to disprove the resurrection on that logic. Not foolish to wonder about it. So he gives us an answer about it. I want you to notice verses 42 through 44 in 1 Corinthians 15. He shows that believers will receive a new body. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown as a perishable body. It is raised an imperishable body. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. Now, I for one am happy about what this just said. Aren't you? It's telling me that this old flesh and bone body that I've got is not going to be my eternal capsule. I'm going to get something else better than this. This body can't endure, and we know that. There's going to be a resurrection that is of a spiritual nature and a new body that is of a spiritual nature that is suitable for the kingdom. And that's good because these old bodies are wearing out and they start to go downhill pretty quickly. I told you all before, I read something somewhere that said that we start to degrade at about age 25. And so some of us have been over that hump for a long time. We're pretty far down the slope of that degradation. But you know that it's true. You see that. You watch athletes. When they get to be about 25, their skills start to fade. And they can't do what they were able to do. Can't run as fast or jump as high. That doesn't matter. But as far as the eternal kingdom goes, it does matter. This body can't endure. It's not suitable for that kingdom. So verse 50, Paul says, "Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable." So this flesh and blood, it can't have the kingdom of God. It wouldn't hold up. It can't endure for eternity. It's not suitable. So we get a spiritual body. Now what does that have to do with our question and answering it? What I want us to understand as we think about what this passage says here is if we're going to recognize one another in heaven, in eternity, it's not going to be by this face and this body. We're not going to see this in heaven. Flesh and blood, that's not going to be there. We're going to recognize one another in some other way. Not in the flesh. Now, what are we going to look like? What's this body going to be? Well, let's think about that for a moment. We're going to become like Jesus. Again, I'm answering from the Scriptures and as far as the Scriptures go in this answer. The Scripture tells us we're going to be transformed into the image of the Lord Jesus. Now, we've already been transformed into His image to a degree if we are in Christ. We have put on a spiritual likeness to become like Him. That's why we wear the name Christian. But this is talking about the resurrection. Still, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 49, it says, "Just as we have borne the image of the earthy, we will also bear the image of the heavenly." What does that mean? It means that while we've been in this life, we have borne the image of Adam. We've looked like he did. And we do now. This essentially is the form that Adam had when God made him. Flesh and blood, physical, and in this world. But in the resurrection, we're going to put on a different form. And we're going to put on the form or the image of the heavenly. And we're going to bear a likeness to Jesus in that way. Now, what exactly does that mean? I don't know. And I'll tell you, the Scriptures tell me that I don't know and can't know. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, it says, "Behold, now we are children of God." That means right now we are children of God. "And it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when He appears," Jesus that is, "we will be like Him because we will see Him just as He is. But we haven't seen Him that way yet." And we don't know yet what we will be. That has not yet appeared to us. So we're going to have to be satisfied at this point knowing that we can't know and that we don't know, but that we will be like Him in the resurrection. Again, what we see is that our physical images are not going to be retained beyond this world. So we're not going to recognize one another by physical appearances. At least we're not going to see the flesh and blood because it's not going to be there. Another thing we know about heaven is that the first things will have passed away. We know that in 2 Peter chapter 3, it tells us that the present heavens and earth will be passed away. They're going to burn up. Even the very elements of the physical realm are going to melt with fervent heat and will be gone. So we are looking for a new heavens and a new earth. And the Bible tells us something about that. Now, we know also the trappings of this world are going to go away as well. In 1 John 2, verse 17, "The world is passing away." Physical world, material elements are going away. But also its lusts. "But the one who does the will of God lives forever." So not in this world, but we're going to live forever. And then in Revelation 21, verses 3 and 4, the trappings of this world are gone. It says, "I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and He will dwell among them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself will be among them. And He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death, there will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away." The first things, going back to the world and all the trappings of the world and everything in this world that we hate, everything that causes us sadness and pain, the things of this world are going away. They won't be there in heaven. So again, what we learn here in relation to our question is everything that we have known by sight and experience will be gone as far as this physical world. So then, I've already asserted, I believe we're going to know one another in heaven. How is that going to be? Well, I'll tell you how I think that the Bible answers this. First of all, the Bible teaches us and reveals to us that the dead retain their identity. In other words, people who have lived in this world and have died are still who they were. They don't become something else, just become some life force somewhere in the mind of God. They are still who they were. They retain that identity. And the Scripture is filled with examples to teach us this. For example, Abraham, when he passed away, it says he was gathered to his people in Genesis 25. Now that is a term that's used, maybe an idiom, but it's something that's used many times in the Scriptures, talking about someone dying and going to his people. And his people, who had already died, were still his people. After Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had all died, you remember when God spoke to Moses? And he said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jesus used that later on. This passage in Matthew 22, Jesus quoted from Exodus when God said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he used it to refute the Sadducees and prove that there is a resurrection. He says, see, long after Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were dead, God was still their God because they still existed. All people live to God. They may perish from this world, but all are alive to God. And they were still Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They had not relinquished their identities. They still were who they were when they lived in this world. In 1 Samuel chapter 28, Samuel talked to Saul from the grave. Remember that episode? And Saul went to the medium, the witch, and he said, I want you to conjure up Samuel. And she said, I can't do that because that's against the law. You know, the king said, you can't do that. But he got her to do it. And then when it happened, you could see it was not anything like she'd seen before. Samuel actually spoke from the grave. This wasn't just the nonsense, the witchcraft that said she was used to. This was actually Samuel speaking. But he was still Samuel. And he didn't care for being called up either. He didn't want to be disturbed. But it was still Samuel. Hadn't lost his identity. I mentioned this morning in the first sermon about David, part of his punishment was that his son perished. In 2 Samuel 12, verse 23, David said, I can go to him, but I can't bring him back to me. His son was still his son even after he had died. He didn't lose his identity. I thought about this one with Moses and Elijah appearing beside Jesus at the transfiguration. And Peter and James and John recognized them. Now, how did they do that? I don't know. They hadn't seen pictures of them before. I don't think that there was any introduction given. Yet they knew who they were. I think maybe that helps answer another question I'll ask a little bit later. My point here is that although these were no longer in the flesh, they still had their identities. And there's nothing in Scripture that indicates that we will ever lose our identities, that we will still be who we are, even after we die. In addition to this, there's also evidence in the Scriptures that the dead are still aware of themselves and of their past life on earth. They don't lose that awareness. They still know what they knew while they were here in this world. Again, Samuel, in that same example in 1 Samuel 28, when he spoke from the dead, he still remembered Saul. He remembered the sins of Saul. He knew what had happened. He didn't forget those things. He still had that awareness of who he was, and he had an awareness and a memory of things that had happened when he was in the world. In Matthew chapter 7 and Matthew chapter 25, you've got two scenes of the judgment that Jesus describes. And in both of those cases, you see where Jesus is saying he is going to judge the world, those who are being judged remember what they did while they were alive. Now, these are people who have all perished from the earth. This is at the time of the judgment. So all the things of the earth are gone. But these people will remember. In Matthew 7, they say, Lord, Lord, did we not do all these things? And he says, I never knew you. In Matthew 25, then he says to some that you clothed me when I was naked and fed me when I was hungry and so on and so on. And they say, when did we do this? And he says, when you did it to all these, my brethren. They still are aware of who they are, and they still remember what they did. That doesn't go away. Self-awareness, self-identity is still there. Abraham, the rich man, and Lazarus, all of them in Luke chapter 16, still retained their identities and were aware of themselves and still had memories of the world. the rich man in particular, remembered his brothers. Abraham even said to him, remember when you were in the world, you had your nice things, and Lazarus had bad things. And now, you see how that's turned around? But he says, remember these things. He still was aware, still had that memory, still was who he was. And so, when we see all these examples here, we understand the Bible's indicating to us, we will have that self-awareness and that memory of past life. And there's nothing in the Scripture that I know of that indicates that we will ever lose this awareness, that it will ever cease. And maybe there's something in Scripture that you know of that does indicate that. If so, then let me know. But I certainly don't know of any such thing. The passage that was read for us before from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, also gives us some indication of this answer. In that it says, we collectively, we will be together with the Lord in the resurrection. And these words are given as a message of comfort. Paul's describing the Lord's return and the resurrection of the dead in this passage. And I want you to notice verse 17 in particular, showing that the saved will be together always with the Lord. It says, then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them. It's talking about the dead. In this case, those who were faithful, who have passed on. We will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. We collectively. We are going to be together. And that passage then says in verse 18, to comfort one another with these words. Usually if someone is asking this question, will we know one another in heaven? They're asking that because their minds and their hearts are on someone who has left this world. That's what was going on here in 1 Thessalonians 4. You had Christians at Thessalonica that were concerned about their brethren who had died before the Lord returned. And they were concerned about what happens to them. And so Paul wrote this passage in order to inform them of what happens. For our sakes, as we're thinking about those who have passed on from us, we need comfort as well. Will we ever see them again? This passage answers and says, yes, we will. We will be caught up together with them. If we're still alive when the Lord returns, then we don't go without those who have passed on. They get raised. If we have passed on, we get raised, but we all together go to be with the Lord, meeting Him in the clouds of the air, and we will always be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. Be comforted, first of all, knowing that we are going to be with the Lord, and secondly, knowing that we are going to be together. And we're still going to be who we are. We're just going to be a lot better. Because we get to leave behind all the rotten things in this world, including the rotting flesh that's going to be burned up with all the elements of this earth. And so there's nothing in Scripture that indicates that this togetherness with the Lord is ever going to change. We get to be with Him forever. And I'll give you one more passage to answer that question that indicates to us we're going to be in the presence of other saved persons in heaven. And we're going to know who they are. This passage is Matthew 8 and verse 11, where Jesus said, I say to you that many will come from the east and west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Which indicates to us that we're going to know Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and by implication that we're going to know everyone else at the table. We'll know them also. We'll still know one another. I've never known Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not personally. I studied a lot about them, but I haven't personally known them. But here, I get to sit down at the table with them, and I will know who they are. And I'll get to know all the other faithful ones of God from throughout the ages. Won't that be a great blessing? To know everyone who will be there in the kingdom of God. I have full confidence that we will. So from these passages, we can conclude, rightfully so, that we will indeed know one another in heaven. Again, I don't have one definitive passage that says that, but when we put all this together, we can rightly deduce that we're going to retain our identities, that we're going to retain our self-awareness and our memories of who we were and things of this world. We're going to praise Jesus for what He did in this world. We won't forget it. And we're going to be able to recognize others as well. And that recognition is not going to be based upon our physical traits, because those are going to be gone. We're going to have new spiritual bodies that are far better. And we're going to have existence that is suitable for eternity in the kingdom of God. So, this is a terrible way to end a lesson, but this is how I'm ending it. I'm going to give you a couple of questions I can't answer about this. One of them I've already mentioned. How is it that we're not going to be saddened over loved ones who are eternally lost? If we retain the memory of things that happen in this world, then how won't we be sad? And we know there's not going to be sadness or crying or tears or pain. And I'll tell you, I can't answer it exactly. I can't tell you for certain what that answer is, but I can tell you what might be. It might be that God can selectively remove from our memories certain things. I'm not even sure that that's the case, though. I think that in heaven, in eternity, there's not going to be any pretense. When the resurrection happens and the judgment occurs, we know every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. All those who have denied Jesus and have denied God in this world will not be able to do so anymore. Truth will override everything. And there will be a perfect and complete acceptance of what is true and right. We are going to be perfectly satisfied with the judgment of God, whatever it is, that it is exactly right. And we're not going to mourn over things that God has judged, because whatever He has judged will be exactly right. Now, I might be wrong in understanding that that is how we will have memories of people who are lost and yet not mourn over them. It may be that God just wipes them from our memory. I don't know. But I do know that we will perfectly accept the will of God and His judgment. I have no doubt about that. And then this other question that I can't ask is that if we will not recognize one another by our physical traits, then how will we recognize one another? And again, I have to say I don't know, because the Scriptures do not indicate that. However, we'll go back to what I mentioned before. When the Lord Jesus was transfigured on that mountain and Moses and Elijah appeared next to Him, it's not as if they had books with pictures of Moses and Elijah so that James and John and Peter knew them by sight. Yet somehow they knew them, didn't they? I don't know how, but they did. And when we see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob seated at the table in the kingdom, Jesus said, we'll know them as well, though we have never seen them before. Is it possible that this spiritual existence, in which we still have our identities from this world, but we have a different existence, is it possible that there be some other means of identification? Not by sight, not by flesh, because we won't have this, but some other means by which we can recognize one another, and even others that we never knew before. And just in that way, be able to know one another by some spiritual means. I don't know. That's another one of those things that is in the knowledge of God and is not revealed to us. And we'll have to be satisfied not knowing. But what we do know, and what I believe we do know, according to what we studied here together today, is that we will know one another in heaven. But we have to get there first. now, don't we? It's not going to matter too much, the answer to this question, if we don't make it. And so we need to make sure now that we're getting ready to go. And that when the resurrection happens, when the judgment happens, that we will be judged favorably and that we will be given an entrance into that kingdom. And if we're outside of Christ Jesus, we have no chance for that. He is our only hope, which is not to say, or to diminish him as being something small. It's just to say, it's a narrow way. There is one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. If you're not a Christian, we urge you, take the opportunity now while you have it. You don't know whether you will have another. Obey the gospel if you need to. If there's anyone here who is a child of God, but you've allowed sin to separate you from your heavenly Father, once you ask for his forgiveness, come back to the Lord, seeking his forgiveness, confessing your sin, and repenting. And know that he is faithful and just to forgive you, and you can be restored to the joy of his salvation. We'd be happy to help you. Would you come while we stand and while we sing?